this young teenager, he got saved and he recognized that he did not have to wait for God to use him, that God could use him as a teenager. And we need young people, yes, you teenagers, you need to realize that God has work for you to do, and God has specially endowed you. Young adults, God has specially endowed you.
In the first part of this message that aired last week, Pastor Bryant Grant took us to the book of Proverbs, where it shows Lady Wisdom standing at a crossroads, begging the naive, the scoffer, and the fool to change course and avoid the dire consequences of a life lived apart from the ways of God. This evening's concluding part of that message again picks up the theme of the fool who will not change course. But Lady Wisdom also offers hope to any who heed her call and decide to change course. But there is a sobering part to this message in that there are severe and eternal consequences to resisting the grace of God and not changing course. We urge all our listeners to be sure that you are on the right road. Here once again is Pastor Grant with the concluding part of his message. Is there a point of no return?
Everyone has an opportunity to respond and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, it's an open invitation. One of the things I always like to point out. Let me take the time to go there. John's Gospel, chapter 6. I want to give you what God has laid on my heart. John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 37. John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 37. This verse puts the two things in one. The two concepts are put together in this one verse. So folks, those of you who are Bible students, you make a note of this verse, because it puts the whole idea, number one, that you cannot get to heaven without God's selection, but two, that you cannot get to heaven without your decision. And here it is in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. That part has to do with what? God's selection. Do you see that? All that the Father gives me will come to me. The Father's selection. But then the next part of the verse says, and the one who comes to me, I will in no means cast out. That's my personal decision. The verse puts it together. God's selection, man's decision. Both critical if you're going to be saved. But hallelujah, once we get saved, we can know for sure that we are selected by God. You know, sometimes some individuals have come to me and they've said to me, since I know God has selected me, I don't have to do anything, because if God has selected me, I must get to heaven anyhow. But here's what they miss. You can only know you are chosen by responding to the gospel. Write that down. You can only know you are chosen by responding to the gospel. And that's why this morning, young person, an older one, that's why this morning I'm going to give you an opportunity in a few minutes to respond to the gospel and invite the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart, so that when you leave here, you can know for sure that you were chosen by God and you have received eternal life. Amen. God chose each member of his church. But secondly, God adopted each member of his church. Look at verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 1. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You know, some people have said that those of us who had babies in our family, we had to take what we got. But those who had the privilege of adoption, they had a chance to choose. Well, I don't know how accurate it is, but here's, I'm really glad, as I was preparing, I said, you know, I'm so glad my parents didn't put me up for adoption. And the reason I'm glad they didn't put me up for adoption is because you all might not have wanted to adopt me. Because, you know, you may say I'm bad. You ain't so good right now. That's true. But when I was a young fella, some of you heard some of my stories about some of the stuff I did to my grandmother. But you might not have wanted to adopt me. But truthfully, I mightn't have adopted you either. Oh, you didn't know I would, probably wouldn't, huh? But listen, God knew all about your stuff. He knew that your life was going to be full of drama, 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 drama. He adopted you anyhow. Aren't you glad that he picked you anyhow? But listen, the doctrine of adoption has a whole lot more power than the fact that God has brought us into his family. And that's what I want to make sure you grasp this morning. Because adoption gives us all the rights of an adult child. You need to get that. Adoption gives us all the rights, and I'm going to add the word, and privileges and responsibilities, all right? It gives us the rights. It gives us the privileges. It gives us the responsibilities of an adult child. You say, Pastor, break it down. I'm not getting it. What's this big deal? Well, some of you have young children. Well, let's assume before you went on that romantic date, you had met with your lawyer and you got a will. So you have a will. You've changed your 401k and your IRA and your children. Other than your wife, your children are the beneficiary of everything you have. And last night on that romantic date, it was so special that on the way home, instead of keeping your eyes on the road, you leaned over to get a kiss. And while you leaned over to God and get a kiss, you know what happened? And you're taken out. By the way, I'm glad that some of you are that romantic that you'd want to kiss while you're driving. But might I encourage you, for the good of all of us, keep your eyes on the road. Wait till you stop, all right? But let me ask you this. So you and your wife died last night. What would have happened to the kids? Are you aware that although the children have all the wealth coming to them, are you aware that they couldn't access it? Are you aware that a child has no legal standing? So this child would have had all this stuff, but couldn't do anything with it. This is why, by the way, I'm giving you some free advice here. This is why every one of you with a young child needs to have some sort of a trust document. Even if it's what they call a contingent trust. And there are lawyers in the church who can help you with that. Or if you want, we can give you some guidance there. But it is so important that you have some sort of a document in place. A trust, not just a guardianship, but a trust document that directs how their estate is to be managed. Because you see, there are spiritual implications here as well for what this whole issue of adoption. Turn over two or three pages to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And I'm going to start reading at verse number 1. Now I say that the heir, are you there? Say amen if you're there. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he's master of all. Are you getting the picture? Although the heir, this little kid, if while he's a child, he owns everything, but he's just like a slave. But he's under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. I'm just going to jump to verse 4. And because God is giving the spiritual connotation. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Now, ladies, please don't get bent out of shape because it says sons. In fact, as a member of the body of Christ, we are glad it says sons. You say, why? Because this is written during Roman law, Roman rule. And under Roman rule, the one who had the authority, being a son, made you a real, bona fide, gone to bed heir. If you are a woman, but are you understanding what God is trying to get across to us?
God is trying to get across to us that every Christian has been adopted. Every Christian has got the rights and responsibilities and privilege of an adult son under Roman law, under Christian law. Listen, you've got it all. Everything that God has coming, you've got it all, whether you're male or female. Listen, this has a whole lot of implications, you know. Because do you know what sometimes happens in churches? People get saved, and they figure, well, I just got saved. I better sit on the back bench and keep myself quiet till I learn. Or you have all these young people, and there are a number of teenagers and preteens waiting to grow up. But God is saying, listen, you're only 7, you're only 11, the minute you trust Jesus, you say, oh, Pastor, I just got saved 2 weeks ago. The minute you trust Jesus, he adopts you. And this adoption is not only bringing you into his family. He is giving you all the rights of an adult child. Everything God has, you've got it. Well, I hope you grasp it. I hope you grasp it because, listen, God wants somebody this morning to get up off of their seat when we come to the invitation, some young person, some older person who has been sitting and will fly here and say, God, I'm ready. You see, listen, the minute you got saved, the Spirit of God came to live within you. You got all the Spirit of God that the gray-haired men like me and gray-haired sisters who have been on the journey 30, 40 years, you have as much of the Spirit of God as they have, because guess what? The Spirit of God is a person. If you've got him, you've got him. And the minute you got saved, you got all of him. The problem is sometimes he don't got all of you. But you got all of him. The minute you got saved, you got all the Holy Spirit. The minute you got saved, he endowed you with spiritual gifts. The minute you got saved, he blessed you with every single spiritual blessing. Did you hear what I said? You got it. And God is saying to us this morning, we need to realize we have it. And that it's time to get off the bench or whatever else you want to call it and use what God has given you. Billy Graham was 16 years old when he got saved. At 18 years of old, he started preaching the gospel. At 21 years of age, he was ordained as a minister in the Baptist church, and God knows how God used him. But listen, here's what I'm trying to get across. This teenager, he got saved, and he recognized that he did not have to wait for God to use him, that God could use him as a teenager. And we need young people, yes, you teenagers, you need to realize that God has work for you to do, and God has specially endowed you. Young adults, God has specially endowed you. And God wants to use you. And what a thrill it is in Galatians chapter 4, just down about verse number 6, where God tells you one of the special privileges that all of us have. He says, listen, I want you to come into my presence. I want you to know that now you're adopted. Know that you're adopted. You can come on in and say, Abba, Father. Come on in and say, dear Daddy.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
When one of my sons was about
12, 13, 14, I don't remember how old he was. He would come to the bedroom sometimes, and his special time would be 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, and he'd come in for a chat. And I think you all know me well enough that I would say to him, "Listen, son, it is now midnight. I need my rest. Would you please go to bed? You need to go to school in the morning." Oh yeah, he had to go to school. He did go to school. "You have to go to school and I need to work. Would you please go?" Now some of you parents are going to think my wife is crazy, but it has paid dividends. My wife said to me, "Brian, I want you to realize," one day when he was gone, she said, "I want you to realize that there are a lot of fathers who wish that their teenage sons would talk to them. And if your son wants to talk to you at 11 o'clock, listen to what he has to say. Lest he decide he ain't talking to you no more." Hallelujah, he's still talking to me today. Aren't you glad about that? These kids are crazy enough to take their parents on dates. And I'm saying, boy, hallelujah, thine the glory. But here's the point I want to make. Isn't it wonderful to know that God has an open door? I don't want you to miss that. Sometimes, the point we're trying to get across is sometimes we believers, we fail to appropriate the blessings we have. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And one of the spiritual blessings he has blessed us with is an open door. Are you hearing me? An open door to the throne room. Come in anytime you want. You can sit on the bed. You can say, "Dear Daddy, dear Daddy, here's what's bugging me. Daddy, here's what I'm struggling with." Oh, some of you have all sorts of burdens and cares. Life is tough. But I want you to know, part of the blessing is that there is an open door. This doctrine of adoption, God is saying, there's an open door. Come on in. Here's what the Bible says. He says, "Come boldly." He's not asking you to come in all scared. I wonder if he's all right. He says, "Come boldly, boldly to the throne of grace, where you obtain mercy and grace to help us in time of need." Do you have a need? Thank God for that we have been adopted. And would to God this morning, it is my prayer that some believer here this morning might grab a hold of this doctrine of adoption and recognize what God is doing and what God has done, and the fact that God wants to use you in an unbelievable way. Listen, listen, I honestly believe that there's some people here God wants to use in an unbelievable way, but you've got to say, "God, here I am, this is what I've got, and I'm giving it all to you." Young man, are you willing to do it? Young lady, are you willing to do it? Older person, are you willing to say, "God, I'm willing to lose my life for your sake"? But finally, God not only chose us, hallelujah, he not only adopted us and gave us all the rights, responsibilities, and privileges of a full heir, but also God redeemed each member of the church. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Redemption means to free someone from bondage by paying a ransom. That's what God did for us. He freed us from our sin by sacrificing himself on the cross of Calvary. Sin had us hooked. You probably hear this morning and you know sin has you hooked. You know, we keep trying to stop sinning. We try to stop some of the stuff that we do, but somehow we just can't stop. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Because of the fact that we sin, the Bible says there is an eternal prison waiting for every person. The Bible calls it hell. It calls it the lake of fire. There is an eternal prison. But hallelujah, He has redeemed us. He has forgiven us. He has ransomed us. On February the 4th, 2018, the Eagles and the Patriots had a showdown in Minneapolis. But the biggest showdown in history took place just over 2,000 years ago on a dusty hillside called Calvary, just outside Jerusalem. Satan and his demonic forces had somehow instigated evil men. And together they were determined to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. 3 p.m. Good Friday, it appeared that Satan had won. Jesus had been tortured. He had been crucified. He had been put in this cold tomb. It seemed like it was over. So much so that his disciples who had followed him for 3 years, they were discouraged and they were despairing. To them, it almost looked like they had wasted 3 years of their life. They had had so much hopes for this Jesus, and now he was dead. Everything was ended. And so the disciples, they went back home. But they missed the fact. This was all in the plan of God. Because God the Father had decreed, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Listen, Jesus had to die and shed his blood so that you and I can be forgiven of our sin. And on Good Friday, Jesus shed his blood. Oh, you know the scene. You know how they brutalized him. You know how every part of his body was bleeding by the time they were finished with him. Jesus shed his spotless, sinless blood as a substitute. Don't miss that word. Substitute. Jesus was substituting in your place. He was taking the penalty you deserved because you are the sinner. I am the sinner. He substituted for us. But Jesus had said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down and I take it again. And hallelujah, that's what he did. Good Friday, he laid down. 3 days later, he took it up again. Romans had put a big stone to seal the tomb. Although there were guards guarding the tomb, Jesus Christ came forth in power and authority and in might. And the good news is Jesus Christ is alive. My friend, because Jesus Christ is alive, listen, listen good. He's able to save to the uttermost all those who come to God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. Jesus Christ is alive, and listen, he can save you. Miss, madam, teenager, it doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how bad your track record is. Jesus demonstrated that by on the cross. There was this murderer, this thief on the cross. And he said, please remember me. And Jesus said to this man, today you'll be with me in paradise. And Jesus wants to speak those words of peace to you this morning. If you would respond, remember, you need to respond. It is my prayer that in a moment as we stand to sing, that you will leave where you are and you'll come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he will save you. Listen, Jesus is calling three groups this morning. He's calling that Christian who is not walking straight. He's calling you and he's saying it's time. He's calling that Christian who's been sitting, waiting to grow up. He's saying, it's time. I've got work for you. He's calling that person who doesn't know him as Savior. He's calling you. And I'm going to ask you, as we rise to sing, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way." I'm going to ask you, my friend, once we get started, you don't even wait. You just come. Let's pray together. Have thine own way.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, "The Word for You Today." We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It would certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.